بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the hadith of Abi Dharr, we continue the explanation of the book of fasting from Bulugh al-Maram. وعن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نصوم من الشهر ثلاثة أيام، ثلاثة عشرة وأربعة عشرة وخمسة عشرة. رواه النسائي والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. Narrated Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us to fast 3 days in the month on the 13th, the 14th and the 15th. Reported by at-Tirmidhi and al-Nasa'i and Ibn Hibban, who graded it as sahih. Umirna, we have been commanded. Umirna, we have been commanded, it means. And al-Amr, command, is requesting. Or, yes, requesting an action by way of authoritative highness. By way of authoritative highness. Meaning the one who commands feels that he is higher in rank than the one who is commanded. This is the meaning of al-amr. And that's why it is said the father commands his son to do such and such. And it is not said to the contrary. It is not to be said that the son commands his father to do such and such. And you can tell the difference. So therefore, we are commanded, or the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to fast. And it does not mean that the command of the Prophet ﷺ is to seek haughtiness on the face of the earth. However, it makes you know that his ummah, his nation, his followers are lesser in rank than him, without any doubt. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to fast 3 days in the month. 3 days. The 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. These days are called al-ayyam al-bid, the white days. These days are called al-ayyam al-bid, meaning the days of the white, quote-unquote, nights. Because these nights, the night of the 13th, the night of the 14th, the night of the 15th, are white due to the, what? To the light of the moon. Due to the light of the moon. And you know, people in the past didn't have electricity. And these nights, all of them are white. From the time the sun rays disappear, the light of the moon appears on these nights in full, and they are called the white nights or white days. From the benefits of this hadith, that fasting these days is legal, mashru', legal. Is it, when we say legal, you see the term legal could mean obligated, and it also could mean recommended. So, is it therefore recommended, or is it something obligated? The answer is, it is mustahab, recommended. Because the ulama, the scholars, rahimahumullah, are unanimously agreed that it is not an obligation to fast a day other than the day of the month of Ramadan, as long as they are not vows. You understand? The ulama are unanimous that it is not an obligation to fast any day other than the days of Ramadan, unless it is a vow. Unless it is a vow. The next benefit, specification of these days, and this means an increase in reward. Otherwise, if a person fasts 3 days from the beginning of the month or its middle or its end, then he will attain the reward which came in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, صَوْمُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامِ, fasting 3 days from each month, is like fasting the entire year. So therefore, if you fast in the first 10 days of a month, you fast 1 day, and in the second 10 days of the month, you fast another day, and in the third 10th, you fast a day, then you have attained in reward the fasting of the entire year. However, it is better that these days be what? The 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, because of the specification that came in this hadith. Is that clear also? Okay, now if someone asks the question, what is the wisdom of fasting these particular 3 days? The answer is, we don't know. We don't know the wisdom. We know that this is the command of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the wisdom behind this, is that the blood in our bodies follow the moon. When the moon gets full, its light expanding, then the blood will increase in the human body, and this increase may lead to something harmful, like the rupture of the veins, for example. So, if the person fasts, then the pathways of blood will become restricted and weakened. So, therefore, this will minimize the blood flow during these days. Now, and that there are certain things on earth which are affected by the moon, and that this is something known. Those living at the seashores, they know of this during the ebb and during the tides. The sea expands with the expansion of the light of the moon, and this is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Irrespective, however, whether we know the reason, whether it is this or some other reason, what's important is that if we fast these days, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, then we have complied with the command of the Prophet ﷺ. And if we fast other than these days, it is permissible. However, fasting these particular days is better. This is regarding this hadith. And then we move to the next hadith, and that is the hadith of Abi Huraira, 557. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يحل للمرأة أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه. متفق عليه، واللفظ للبخاري، زاد أبو داود، غير رمضان. الحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه، he said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not lawful for a woman to fast, meaning the optional fasting, when her husband is present, except with his permission. except with his permission. And this is an agreed upon hadith, and the wording is that of Bukhari. And Abu Dawud rahimahullah added, other than Ramadan, meaning fasting other than Ramadan. طيب. لا يحل, it's not lawful, meaning it is forbidden. For the woman, meaning the woman that is married. For a woman, meaning the woman that is, who is married. أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد, meaning present, to fast, the optional fast when her husband is present, except by his leave or with his permission. And Abu Dawud رضي الله, or Abu Dawud added, other than Ramadan, which means that in Ramadan she fasts, even if he does not approve, because the fasting of Ramadan is obligated from Allah Azza wa Jal, and breaking it is a disobedience to Allah, and there is no obedience to the created in that which is disobedience to the Creator. Now, if someone asks the question, how come he excluded Ramadan, other than Ramadan? The answer is because Ramadan may be a make-up, or could be initiated, something initiated, fasting, or it could be a make-up. And in the initiated, the husband may not be fasting, either because of a travel or illness or the like, and the wife may be fasting. Okay, now in terms of the makeup, it's clear that the husband may not have makeup days, may not have makeup days. From the benefits of this hadith, the great right of the husband on his wife, and this is clear to the extent that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لو أمرت أحدا أن يسجد لأحد, if I were to command someone to prostrate to someone else, لأمرت الزوجة أن تسجد لزوجها, I would have commanded the wife to prostrate to her husband. And that's why the right of the husband supersedes the right of the parents, unless there is necessity. For example, if the husband says to his wife, sit here, and her mother says, sit there, then the saying is the saying of whom? Question to you. The saying should be the saying of whom? The husband. The saying should be the saying of the husband. And that's why marriage is known also in Arabic as imlak, quote unquote, possession. It is as if the husband possesses the wife, end of quote. And the evidence for this is that in some wordings in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the story of the woman who, and the woman who, in marriage it means, and the woman who presented herself to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not want her, and there was another man who sought this woman. So the Prophet he صلى الله عليه وسلم said to this man, ملكتكها بما معك من القرآن, meaning I give her to you in return for that which you have from the Quran, meaning as a mahar, as a dowry. And لأن الله تعالى, and that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, chapter 12 verse 25, وألف يا سيدها لدى الباب. Surah Yusuf, verse 25. So they raced with one another to the door, and she tore his shirt from the back. She tore the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, right in the story. They both found her Lord at the door. See that? They both found her Lord, in reference to the husband. The next benefit, that the woman, it's forbidden for her to fast and her husband is present except by his leave. And the wisdom behind this is because he may need to enjoy her lawfully, and he reveres to spoil her fasting for her, and this is from his right. And if someone says, will you restrict this to those husbands who are not abusive or cruel, meaning the husband, what about the husband who deserts her and her rights, does not fulfill them? Can she fast without his permission while he is present? The answer is yes, because this is the scale of justice. When the husband is cruel and abusive, then she has the right not to follow him for his in his request. When he does not establish her rights from the spending or other than that, then also she may not do the same to him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:194, فَمَنْ اِعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Then whoever transgresses the prohibition against you, you transgress likewise against him. And also because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 126, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. And if you punish, then punish them with the like of that with which you were afflicted. And from that, if a woman is abused by her husband, or deserted, or cruelly treated, and she goes to her family, can she fast without his permission? The answer is yes. Because he has no saying on her, given his negligence regarding her rights. From the hadith also we learn the following benefit. If the husband is not present, can she fast? Question. Without his permission? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. There is no harm. Yes. Like for example, the husband being on a journey, on travel, and she fasted without calling him, for example, telling him that she will fast tomorrow. Because in this case, she's not going to harm him in any way, right? No. Also, what's apparent from the hadith, that there is no distinction between whether the fasting is fard, obligation, or optional. However, the narration of Abi Dawood, is other than Ramadan. If this narration is preserved, then it is therefore evidence that what is intended from the hadith is an-nafil, the optional. Still, there are some details that should be taken into consideration. Other than the nafil, other than the optional, comprises that which is obligated by way of nadr, by way of vows, and also comprises that which is make up, al-qada. Also it comprises al-kaffara, the expiation. Also it includes the ransom for ailment in Hajj, shaving the head because of ailment. And also it includes the penalty on game hunting while in state of ihram. So shall we say therefore, every wajib, every obligation, she can fast every obligation with the presence of the husband without permission? Can we say that? The answer. If the obligation is accommodating, meaning there is room for her, time for her to fulfill, then in this case, she does not have the right to fast except with his permission, because there is no harm on her. Is that right? You understand? If fulfilling the obligation, there is time for her, right? There is time to fulfill the obligation. When there is time for her to fulfill the obligation, then the matter is accommodating. In this case, she does not fast without his permission because there is no harm on her. Clear? Tayyib, you see that? This is in principle. But someone also may bring the following point. She does not want to have something in her responsibility still required from her. And this is an obligation. It's a must for her to fulfill. And that if she fasts today, she will not be fasting tomorrow. And this is an obligation like debt. So why shouldn't we say therefore that other than Ramadan, quote, end of quote, which came in the hadith, includes, in addition to the optional, includes the makeup and the initiation, the initiated fast. Why shouldn't we say this? The answer, this is an objection in the right place. This is an objection in the right place. However, what preceded takes precedence, meaning what was mentioned earlier, that as long as the wajib can be accommodated, there is time for it, then she does not fast except with his permission. And we may take as evidence the action of Aisha radiallahu anha. She did not fast until what? The next Sha'ban. Yes. So, alhamdulillah. Now, someone says, if we say that she does not fast except by his permission, then is it binding upon him if she requests from him to give her the permission? If she requests from him to grant her the permission? The answer is, in that which is optional, it is not binding upon him. In the fasting which is optional, it is not binding upon him. You see, this is in principle. But in reality, he is deprived in preventing her from fasting the optional when he has no need for her. You understand? And his permission to her to fast is sharing with her in the reward. You got the point? This is in the optional. This is in the optional. So why to deprive himself when he does not need her, you know, for enjoyment? Why to deprive himself? And not let her fast the optional fast. Now, with respect to the fariḍa, the obligation,
the Farida is restricted time-wise. Meaning the Farida which is restricted time-wise, he has no say. She can fast whether he okays that or not. This is in what? In the Farida which is time-wise limited. Is that clear? So we learned with respect to the optional, there is no problem. In principle, he may prevent her. Right? But we say to him, if you don't need enjoyment, then why to prevent yourself from the ajr, from the reward? On the other hand, with respect to the farida, which is restricted time-wise, limited, then he has no say. What about the farida, which is not restricted time-wise? Does he have the right to prevent her or not? Our Shaykh, rahimahullah, said that this matter, he is hesitant. He, rahimahullah, he said, عندي في هذا تردد. I have hesitation. I am hesitant regarding this matter. Why? Because two things come in conflict. The first, that the time is accommodating. Time-wise, it's accommodating. There is time. And the husband tells her, I will not permit you now, but if the time becomes restricted, I will permit you. This is one angle, you understand? This is one angle of the conflict. Why there is the hesitation. The Shaykh rahimahullah is telling why he is hesitant. Because from one side, the time-wise, it is accommodating. And he may tell her, look, now, no. But if the time becomes restricted, I will permit you to fast. You understand? From the second angle, the second polarizing thing is, this is debt, and she is to make it up, and therefore hastening to make it up is kinder and easier on her and relieving her from responsibility. You understand? This is the second element. This is the polarizing, the conflict. You see, the first one conflicts with this one. And now you see the point of hesitation, why therefore. Now, okay, on the other hand, however, assuming in certain circumstances, the husband will not be present with her except during these days, and he will travel. Like, for example, he is studying in some other land, and she has makeup to do, and she requested from him to do that, and he said, I will not allow you, but if I travel, then the matter is accommodating. In this case, we say it is not binding on him to permit her, because in the delay there is benefit for both sides. Is that clear? And so therefore this concludes the explanation on this hadith. Wallahu ta'ala ala wa alam. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.